Amen. That's a rousing song for us. Let's turn, please, to Leviticus chapter 9. Chapter 9. Looking at a passage with great anticipation. When someone drops some hints to you that something wonderful is going to happen, it's an exciting time. Leviticus chapter 9. And Brother Jim, would you lead us in prayer, please?
Heavenly Father, we're grateful for the opportunity to be here tonight. We thank you for the freedom we have. We do think of our country tonight. Our leaders' lives, that, Father, they would surrender their all to you.
Amen.
They would follow your leading for our country.
Yes.
Father, speak to our hearts through your word tonight. We thank you for these hymns. Father, we just ask. Jesus.
Amen. Leviticus chapter 9 and verse 1. We'll be reading down through verse 4. Leviticus 9, 1. And it came to pass on the eighth day that Moses called Aaron and his sons and the elders of Israel. And he said unto Aaron, take thee a young calf for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering without blemish and offer them before the Lord. And unto the children of Israel thou shalt speak, saying, take ye a kid of the goats for a sin offering, and a calf and a lamb, both of the first year, without blemish, for a burnt offering. Also, a bullock and a ram for peace offerings, to sacrifice before the Lord, and a meat offering, mingled with oil. Now, is your mind wandering yet? You've got all these sacrifices and all the details, but then you read in verse 4, for today, the Lord will what? Appear unto you. You know, sometimes as we read the scriptures and we get into maybe some passages like this where there's great details, and of course in the whole sacrificial system, Christ is our sacrifice. And so, you know, we know all these details have meaning and a purpose to them. But sometimes as we read the scriptures, especially maybe the Old Testament, we kind of maybe are tempted to daydream sometimes because we just can't picture it. Have you ever read all the details about the tabernacle or the temple? The size of the ark, the size of the cherubim overshadowing the ark, all the details. And when you can't picture something, it's kind of like someone else telling you about their vacation and you've never been there. And pretty soon, your mind so easily wanders because you can't picture it in your mind, where they were, what it looked like. Now, if you've been there, then you can. But if you haven't, then you can't. And so sometimes our minds get wandering, and then we miss something here, some clue. Have you ever read a book, an adventure book, and you missed some things, but maybe later on you read it again, and then you thought, oh, I didn't catch that part. Right there was a clue to solving the mystery, and I missed it. So as we think about this here, this anticipation, verse 4, for today the Lord will appear unto you. The details were different here. In verse 2, he says to Aaron there, take thee a young calf for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering. But for the congregation in verse 3, it was the kid of the goats for a sin offering instead of the young calf. And a calf and a lamb, both of the first year without blemish, for a burnt offering instead of a ram. So there's differences in the details, but when we're reading down through something, we just often don't pick up on those details. And then once we get to that point, it's just like the mind so easily is wandering. So praise God, we don't have to perform all these animal sacrifices anymore. But notice with me in Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Sometimes we miss some wonderful things when we let our minds wander. Hebrews 10, verse 4. The Bible says, for it is not possible that the blood of what? bulls and of goats should what? Take away sins. So based on that fact, verse 5, wherefore, when he cometh into the world, and who do you suspect is the he? Okay, it's Christ. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldst not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book, it is written of me. And the volume of this book is all about Jesus Christ. In the volume of the book, it is written to me to do thy will, O God. Above, when he said sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings, and offering for sin thou wouldst not, neither hadst pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of what? Body of Jesus Christ, what? Once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can what? Never take away sins. But this man, referring to Jesus, after he had offered what? One sacrifice for sins for what? Forever. Sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by what? One offering he hath perfected how long? Forever them that are sanctified. Whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. Wouldn't you like to be like a computer, just be able to plug in your memory stick and just have every verse there? Oh, how wonderful that would be. He said he would put his laws into their hearts, and in their minds he would write them. Verse 17, and their sins and iniquities will I what? Remember no more. Now where remission of these is, there is what? No more offering for sin. So as I said, though, we read about all these Old Testament sacrifices, and because we don't have to have those because Christ has come and he's offered himself, we kind of get daydreaming through many of these parts here. Let's go back to Leviticus 9, Leviticus chapter 9, and verse 4, Leviticus 9, 4. So the last part of that verse, once again, for today the Lord will appear unto you. You know, the same thing that happened to us, we can get easily distracted. How many of you ever get junk mail? Anyone? How many of you get junk email? Anyone? Even worse. It's hard to imagine, isn't it? But the junk email is even worse than the in the mailbox, that junk mail. But just imagine a letter came in your mailbox saying that someone that you would love to see was stopping by at a certain time, so to make sure to be home, but you thought it was junk mail, so you tossed it in the trash, and you were gone when they came, and you only found out later what you had missed, and the letter you thought was junk mail, you'd thrown in the trash. And you think about that, just think of the wonderful opportunities that Christ may have been trying to get our attention for us to do, but we missed it. Notice in Luke 8, hold your place here in Leviticus 9, but in Luke 8 in verse 14, just think of how many hints God gives to us through the days and the weeks and the months and the years about something special he wanted for us to do. But just imagine that we didn't pick up on the clues. In Luke 8:14, "And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are what? Choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection." Can you imagine that? God had some fruit in our path, but we didn't get to pluck that fruit to perfection because our lives were choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life. So we missed the clues when he brought them our way. There was, I read this week, maybe some of you did too, can't remember the guy's name, but he's kind of doing something which reminds me of what they tried to do to George Washington, only in a little different way. It's kind of like bloodletting. Only in this instance, this guy, he's a millionaire. He sold some tech company for, maybe it was $600 or $700, $800 million or something like that. But they said after he sold that, he went through a state of depression. And he's in his 40s. I wouldn't say that's an age where you should get too depressed. But anyway, he did. And so he got concerned about he was just going to die and, nothing really was going to become of his life. And so he got a team of doctors around him. He had the millions of dollars to do that and trying to find a way to live longer. And so right now, he is taking blood plasma from young people right now from his son. And so they showed pictures of him and his son. And so his son is giving away. I think his son got $100 worth of gift certificates or something to give away all this plasma. And dad has to pay, and other celebrities have to pay like $5,000-something for this blood plasma. But that's no point to him. The money means nothing there. And so he is so concerned about living forever. And so he wants the blood of young people. Watch out, young people. He wants your blood. And it's not just him. It sounds like other people are doing it too, that they want to live forever. So I don't know how often they're doing that, but and this same guy is giving in his plasma to his dad. So it tells, the stats, about his, total body count. I don't know. Body fat count or something. I don't know what it is. But anyway, that gives all, the stats. He's like a 10-year-old in this column and da-da-da-da-da. Isn't it something just what the world will do to try to live? No mention of Christ in there whatsoever. My thought is, sir, what happens if you get in a car accident and die? Have you ever thought of that? That blood's not going to help you. I wish the man realized that it's the blood of Jesus Christ that guarantees us eternal life. That's what he really needs to do. But we get so distracted in the things of life. That guy is totally distracted from eternity because he's focused right on the physical right now. Notice with me in Amos 3:7. The Bible says, "Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth" what? "His secret unto his servants, the prophets." So what might we miss in our Bible reading if we get daydreaming while we're reading the prophets and miss something that God was trying to clue us in on for that day or that week or that month. It reminds me of Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19 and verse 41. We'll read verse 42 as well, but Luke 19, 41. The Bible says, "And when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it, saying, If thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are what? Hid from thine eyes." So Jesus is talking to the people in Jerusalem, and if you'd only known what was here right before your eyes, but it's hidden. They didn't accept him. They rejected him. Notice in Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6. Hosea 4 and verse 6. The Bible says, "My people are destroyed for lack of what? Knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children." So verse 6, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." But how many things do we miss because maybe we're daydreaming, not concentrating? Back in Leviticus chapter 9. So in verse 4 there, Leviticus 9, 4, it says, "Today the Lord will appear unto you." I wonder how many in Israel were just kind of daydreaming at that point. Now, I don't know where your mind is right now. Maybe something I said has got you thinking. Maybe you're still on that guy living off his son's blood. I don't know. I don't know where your mind is. It might be on work. Maybe it was a stressful day, stressful week. Maybe you've got to do something yet tonight, and you're just hoping, please, Lord, help him to hurry up and finish so I can get home and finish what I have to do. I don't know where your mind is, but how many of these people didn't catch verse 4? "For today the Lord will appear unto you." So then we go on in verse 5. "And they brought that which Moses commanded before the tabernacle of the congregation, and all the congregation drew near and stood before the Lord. And Moses said, This is the thing which the Lord commanded that ye should do. And the what? The glory of the Lord shall appear unto you." So now there's another clue. In verse 4, "Today the Lord will appear unto you." Verse 6, "The glory of the Lord shall appear unto you." How many of you like at the fireworks show the grand finale? Anyone? Yeah, I like that. I like where they just so many booms going off the grounds trembling beneath you. Just the sound of power. Well, now he's telling them, "Today the Lord will appear unto you." In verse 6, "The glory of the Lord shall appear unto you." Wow, just the great anticipation. What is the Lord going to do? You know, if only we would remember in our lives that when things seem discouraging, that's not the time to say, forget it, Lord. Nothing's working out. I'm not even going to try. I mean, Jeremiah felt that way at a time. Sometimes the prophets, Elijah, got discouraged. He just took off running. The Lord asked him, "What you doing here, Elijah?" Well, and he rattled on about he's the last one left. And the Lord asked him again a little later, "What you doing here, Elijah?" You know, when things seem discouraging, that's not the time to start complaining to God and feeling forsaken. That's the time for us to get even closer to God during those times, because we don't want to miss anything. Notice in James chapter 4. You know, if we get kind of down and discouraged and just kind of giving up, you know what? We're going to miss the blessings that God had. In James chapter 4 and verse 8, it says, "Draw what? Nigh to God. And he will what? Draw nigh to you." So We don't want to get discouraged and say, oh, forget it, throw in the towel, that's no use. We don't want to do that. In times that may seem discouraging, we want to get closer to God, or we might really miss something here. It's not the time to throw away our standards and our desire to live a holy life. It's a time to draw even closer. Notice James 4:8 once again. Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Then what should we do? Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and what? Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. And when we get discouraged, that's really our problem, is we're double-minded. You know, you got to remember Joseph in the prison. When he saw those two guys looking glum, what did he say? Why look ye so sadly today? You know, when you're in jail, there's really not too much to look forward to, is there? And yet, Joseph, wherever he was the doer of whatever was done, and he prospered. The Bible said he was a prosperous man, and he was in prison because he was anticipating what God was going to do. They tell him they've each had a dream. And Joseph said, do not interpretations belong to who? To God. We know he wasn't down on God, that is Joseph, because he could have easily said to those two guys, listen, forget your dreams. Dreams don't come true. Let me tell you about the dream I had. I dreamed that my brothers were going to bow down to me someday, and even my parents. And you know what? My brothers sold me. They got the best of me, and they sold me as a slave. Then I worked faithfully for my master, and his wife lied about me, and here I am in prison. So, that's what happens to dreams. So, forget your dreams. No, he says, do not interpretations belong to God. You know what that shows us? That he hadn't given up on his dream. Some of you guys ask me about these movable walls, and that maybe we should just stud them in and fill them in. And I haven't given up on a dream, amen, that someday we'll need to open those walls. It may seem hopeless, but I haven't given up, amen. Maybe some of you will see that day. Maybe I won't, but we want to keep them so we can open them up for the glory of God someday. So, verse 9, be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Well, wow, that sounds kind of gloomy, doesn't it? Well, it's that time of drawing nigh to God. And the closer we get to him, the more we're going to seem unspiritual. Truly, the closer we get to God, we're not going to feel like we're really arriving. The closer we get to God, we're going to be like Isaiah in chapter 6. When he saw the Lord high and lifted up, what did he say? Wow? No, he said, woe is me, for I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips. That's what he was saying. So in verse 10 is the upside of that. It says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall what? Lift you up. How many of you have ever tried to lift an elderly person that was fallen and had no strength to help you? Okay. I mean, it's no disrespect, but it's trying to lift dead weight because they can't help. No, they're not dead. But it is so hard to lift when someone can't stiffen up or help you at least a little bit. It's surprising. Someone may seem not that big, but when they're like jelly, it's hard to lift mass when it just moves and it doesn't stay stiff. It's difficult. But in verse 10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and who? He shall lift you up. You know, when we're down on our face before God, and It's a proven fact that there's nothing good in us, no strength in us. That's the time when the Lord's power and His glory can be seen. And when we saw that Sunday, didn't we? That our lives should magnify the Lord, not magnify our strength, but the Lord's strength. Well, we drop down to verse 22 of Leviticus 9. Leviticus 9 and verse 22. And we see that anticipated event happen. Verse 22. And Aaron lifted up his hand toward the people and blessed them, and came down from offering of the sin offering and the burnt offering and peace offerings. See, all those details we didn't pay any attention to. He did them. He did the right details. Verse 23, and Moses and Aaron went into the tabernacle of the congregation and came out and blessed the people. And what?
The glory of the Lord
appeared unto all the people. It happened. It actually happened. The glory of the Lord appeared unto all the people, and there came a fire out from before the Lord and consumed upon the altar the burnt offering and the fat, which when all the people saw, they shouted and fell on their faces. Oh, to see the power of God fall. It may seem so impossible. Our country right now is at such a weak point. Spiritually, well, every fashion, spiritually, financially, morally, whatever you want to say, our country is down so far. And oh, to see the power of God fall, wouldn't it be wonderful? Remember, Nineveh was just 40 days away from destruction. But they listened, they repented. Wouldn't it be wonderful? These people fell on their faces before God. Wouldn't it be wonderful to see the people of the United States of America fall on their faces before God? This week I had different responses, different trucks coming and delivering things. And one young man was so thankful for a gospel tract. And the other one, he kind of looked like one of those guys that maybe couldn't decide what he was. But nonetheless, he came and I offered him a gospel tract. And he just turned right around. And on his way, walking the other way, he said, "I've read enough fairy tales lately." And that was his response. I'd just been praying for that young man, that God would grip his heart. He's the one following a fairy tale life, and it's not going to be a good ending at all. So, oh, to see the power of God fall on our nation. And we must not give up hope. It can happen. Notice in chapter 10, though, I think part of the reason why our country is so low spiritually, politically, financially, chapter 10, verse 1. And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer and put what? Fire therein, and put incense thereon, and offered what?
Strange fire
before the Lord, which he commanded them not. Now remember, God gave specific details, if you go back and read Leviticus chapter 9, about these sacrifices. And these sacrifices include fire on God's altar. But Nadab and Abihu, in the excitement of the moment, decide to go get censers, and they put fire therein, but it obviously was not fire from the altar. And then they put incense thereon, and they offered strange fire before the Lord. And in verse 2, and there went out what?
Fire
from the Lord, and what?
Devoured
them, and they died before the Lord. So what was a wonderful thing, anticipation, God giving all these instructions. You offer these offerings. These offerings are a picture of the sacrifice to come of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's going to fulfill all of them. If you will obey me and do these sacrifices, the sacrifices for sin, the burnt offering, the peace offerings, then you are going to see my glory come down. And they did. But then Nadab and Abihu, they had to produce their own excitement, their own fire. And now the fire of the Lord came down and devoured them. I think the reason America is so woke today, because overall, the church in America is woke. I think that's the beginning of it. The church in America has used the world's fire. The church in America, for the most part, has used the world's sensuous, immoral rock beat. They've tried to use the world's fire to excite the people of God. You know, it's so bad that, you know, many times that type of professing Christianity despises holy living for God. Absolutely despises. I had on the sign a week ago, before Mother's Day, about wanted, old-fashioned, unwoke mamas. And I got a call on the answering machine from a woman, and professing Christian. And she didn't like that message. She didn't like it. And for the most part, things I put on the sign that have been kind of mild for quite a while, but things I put on the sign that to stir up people's thoughts, oftentimes the people that complain are professing Christians. They don't like it. You know why? Because they're spiritually woke. What do woke people do? They go along with anything that comes along. But notice, you know, we've mentioned it before, but a certain beer company decided to put a transgender on a can, and their brand is tanking continually, week after week now. People had enough of that, enough of these transgenders trying to get at our children. And so then, maybe you read about Target recently. Target has had problems a long time promoting that type of lifestyle. But just recently, people have come into some of their stores and very upset at the display they have. Because, you know, June is the self-declared month for sodomites and all these immoral, vile things. So Myers has end caps or displays, all this sodomite transgender stuff as well. Well, I read about one, well, not just one. Target was so concerned at the anger of parents that in stores, they instructed at least some of their stores to move that display to the far back spot in the store. It was prominently displayed. Move it way back there and reduce the size of it. You know why? Well, because of what happened to the beer company. Now they're afraid. They're afraid their customer base is going to tank. There's a church in Lowell that has advertised at times for the sodomites. I mean, they're waving their flag out in front of their church and have things on their sign, you know, welcoming. We welcome them to repent and get saved. Amen? We looked at that Sunday in 1 Corinthians 6. We welcome them to turn from their vile sin and receive the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. We encourage them to do that. But the atmosphere in churches is so woke. You can't preach the word so many times because people get upset. And so that's where we are in America. Notice with me in 1 Peter chapter 4. America is full of Nadab and Abihu's trying to use the world's fire in the church. Well, how's that going to end? 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 16. 1 Peter 4:16. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. Well, I would say I've received much more criticism in my ministry from professing Christians than I've ever received from the world. Does that tell you something? We'll look at verse 17. For the time has come that judgment must begin where? At the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? So God is saying the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. Why is America so far from God? It's because our churches are like nightclubs, is what they are. That's what they are. That's why we're so far from God. In our own township here, we have at least two more places that serve liquor because of professing Christians that wouldn't stand against it in our own township. The time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved. It's hard to tell sometimes, isn't it, who is a Christian? I mean, at least who profess, I mean, they profess that they know Christ, but you wouldn't know it. And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful creator. I haven't given up yet on seeing the fire of God, the holy fire of God, come down to show his glory. But if we don't stick with the book, if we don't follow his word, we're going to be like Nadab and Abihu. And then the fire of God is going to fall, but not for the glory to be seen, but for judgment. I pray that we would never give up on the Lord or his word, but would be faithful. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time we could spend around your word. Lord, oh, please forgive me for being woke. Lord, please forgive me for those times when I have hesitated telling the truth, the full counsel of God, because I was afraid that people wouldn't accept it. Lord, I pray that you would forgive the churches of our land and forgive our land for our wokeness, our fear of man more than fear of you, fear of God. And Lord, we're in a mess. The wicked are on every side. Your name continually every day is blasphemed. Lord, help us. Help us to make a difference. Help us to praise your name before the heathen, to glorify your name before the heathen. I pray that we would magnify your name, that we would exalt your name. Lord, help us by thy Spirit to never be ashamed of you or of your word before the lost. Father, we want to draw nigh to you, Lord. We want our hands cleansed by thy blood. We want our hearts cleansed by thy blood. We don't want to be double-minded. We don't want our hearts to be filled with darkness, but with light, the light of the Lord Jesus. Lord, you can still bring about a great awakening in our land. Please help us. Please use us. Lord, we are on our face before you. Please pick us up. Please hold us up and use us by thy strength. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.